somebody here suffering from homesickness, and I'm sure you're not alone. I'm sure all of us at some point have felt that. Studying here in the UAE, but from Bahrain, and feel homesick. What can I do to make myself feel better?
Well, you can go home and visit if it's a safe place to visit, because sometimes there may be some problems that are going on that makes it uncomfortable to visit. But also, telephoning, Skyping, doing all kinds of letter writing, sometimes even buying gifts for your loved ones, sending it to them, you know, having that kind of connection. Because of transportation and communications, it's the next best thing to being there. When you can be on the telephone, you can go on your computer.
Does it make it worse, though, sometimes, when you have that contact and that communication, because it kind of takes you to the place that you physically can't be?
If it's all going to be is complaining about how you miss home and them telling you how much they miss you, yeah, it'll never go anywhere. But the person is here studying. They're being productive. It's not a lifetime process. They've chosen to be in a different country to study. So being able to move forward means that, yes, we do miss each other. Yes, we would love it for you to come home and visit more frequently. But right now, focus on your studies, and maybe next week or the week after, or there's a vacation time that's coming up next month where we get to see each other. Those are the kind of things that you want to plan. A lot of times people do have homesickness that gets unresolved. That's not necessarily an abnormality, but it is an adjustment issue. And that adjustment issue also has to be recognized. Now, the reason I'm saying this is what we found is about 1 out of 1,000 people cannot be away from home. Now, that doesn't mean that they suffer from a psychopathology. That just means that they have difficulty being in a different place away from their network of family and friends. So in these kind of situations, we're finding that 999 people out of 1,000 actually learn to adjust. They'll continue missing home, but they're happy to be where they are, knowing that they're going to get to talk with their loved ones, be with their friends at certain times or intervals during the year. What we find then is that 1 out of 1,000 people who has difficulty with separation from their network will just need that because it's their nature to have that close family tie or that close tie with their friends. So in these kind of situations, we find that expats in particular, 1 out of 1,000 has difficulty being elsewhere. So as we look at what to do about it, we definitely use communications as a sophisticated form of being able to stay in touch. It's the next best thing to being there. And you can also use it quite frequently. So these quite frequent kinds of situations are definitely needed to be looked at, not seen as pathologies, but just as preferences.
Now, what we like to do on the show is help each other out and share the support. And Samir was listening to that message, and Samir's been working with me for the last couple of weeks. He's on his sabbatical from school, doing some work experience. And you've got some advice. This is your opinion. This is your thoughts, Samir.
Yeah, that's right, because I was actually born in England, and I lived there for a few years before moving here. So I am familiar with the homesick feeling if you're not in the country that you're in. And these are just some things that came to mind for me as well. For example, if there is a Bahraini news channel that you're familiar with watching, I always thought that would be good, just keeping up to date with the news that's going on there. If there isn't, just go online. There's so many websites of news. Just if you're up to date with what's going on in the country, it somehow feels as if you're actually in the country. Like right now, I tried to keep up to date with Olympic stories, so it's somehow I feel as if you haven't actually left. Also, the amazing technology we've got today, I know the doctor mentioned Skype and stuff. Also, Google Maps, if there's a particular streets or houses that you're familiar, places that you know, just looking at that for a few minutes also just gets you in the mood. Even food and music can also bring people into that place. If there is a particular cuisine that you quite like from Bahrain, if you can make it at home, or if not, we've got brilliant restaurants here in Dubai, I'm sure you'd be able to satisfy your crave there. And same with music.
And so they're all the kind of things that you do to keep connected with your home country and maybe ease a little bit that homesickness. Thank you, Samir.
Yeah, I hope that's helped.
Yeah, thank you very much. There's some really good points there. I think also, Dr. Raymond, that the idea of you want to do that, but you also need to get settled where you are, like you were saying. So it's almost sort of feeding the homesickness a little bit, but not so much that you're still continually thinking about your home country rather than actually making friends here, making your life here for the duration that you are going to be staying.
Yes, Samita's points are very well taken. As a matter of fact, they're excellent practical advice that's spoken from an experienced individual. And these are very, very helpful to remember. And these things are not just textbook, they're actually real-life advice. I'm going to write those down and make sure I remember them in helping others. Because being able to settle into the country where you are is to relate that humans are humans anywhere in the world. And if you're not in your next best thing to being there, what is the next best thing to being here?
Mm.
But it's not that anybody is ever going to be put into a situation where they'll never, ever get to be with their loved ones. At least we hope that's not the case. So by looking at what can you do here to be productive, to recreate, to also have a sense of belonging here and not feel that you're betraying those who are the loved ones elsewhere, you're going to move forward a lot quicker.
And if you are living here in the UAE and are from Bahrain and would like to connect possibly with this listener who's feeling homesick, that's another way, isn't it? Sort of a meeting other people from your home country and sharing some common stories, if you like, of that location. So let us know, 4001. Here, lots of text messages. Let's have a look at this one regarding the parent who's getting really stressed because they can't get their children to revise for their GCSE exams. Now, Samir might be able to relate to this because he's got his GCSEs coming up. They're coming up in May. The listener's saying they spend all their time on YouTube, Facebook, playing games on iPhone and BBMing. Please, please, please give me advice on motivating them and helping them focus and prioritize.
Being able to make a schedule is very important. And last week we talked about procrastination.
Yeah.
And what you're describing is a kid who's procrastinating. A lot of sense of insecurities, of uncertainties, of discomfort in even having to take tests is coming out in your description that you've given us in this SMS. So what you want to be able to do is help them by scheduling time for them to do these fun things after they've had 30 minutes, 45 minutes, or an hour and a half of studying. So it's not like they cannot do these things during the study time. But say, study for 25 minutes and then clock yourself in for 5 minutes of BBMing with your friends. Study for 45 minutes, clock yourself in for 15 minutes of doing Facebook or whatever these other game situations may be. If you go for an hour and a half, then you can clock in 30 minutes of doing these things that you'd like to do as well. See, by taking those fun things away, makes studying a treacherous experience. By clogging it in along with the study as a reward for the study time is the correct behavioral technique that encourages the studying, knowing that they're not going to be locked into just studying for endless amounts of time and not enjoying anything else.
Mm.
Even though people may not enjoy studying, you can't take it as a personal situation that they're bad students. It may be that they're having difficulties in studying. You have to discover why. Do they have a learning disorder? Do they have an attention deficit situation where they're impulsive? They don't delay gratification. Are they having attention problems as well as some maybe even hyperactivity issues that are going on? There could be a number of reasons, like even communications disorders could be brought into this. But rather than going the clinical route, let's look at simply the behavioral issue that goes on here.
And
you study, you get a chance to do the play.
And I think that goes for the parents as well, because the parents saying that they're so stressed. And if you are feeling that kind of stress for your child, for your children that are building up to their exams, you need to address that as well and maybe form a schedule for yourself to allow yourself to have some downtime and just take your mind away from your kids studying.
Mm-hmm. Good advice.
4001 is the text number. Keep your questions coming in and your contributions. We value them. We really do.